Welcome to the Government IT Podcast from Converge One Government Solutions, featuring expert discussions around cloud solutions, cybersecurity, modern workplace, enterprise networking, and customer experience for government and civil agencies. And now here are your hosts, Ryan Heath and Julian Foster.
So Ryan, thanks again for joining me today and really enjoying these podcast episodes. And especially we just started doing our weekly series, Tech Trends. Last time we talked about Wi-Fi 6E. And decided it's probably a good idea to talk in depth about some of the security considerations that come along with that. So my understanding is that because Wi-Fi 6E requires WPA3, we're now going to have much stronger encryption that comes along with that. Do you want to talk a little bit about that?
Yeah, so it uses SAE to provide the mechanism for the encryption. When we kind of get into the authentication, we can really talk through the details behind how that works.
Well, speaking of authentication, we have improved authentication that comes along with this as well. And so that was simultaneous authentication of equals, which sounds very interesting, but maybe needs a little description.
Yeah, so that's SAE, and it's also previously known as the Dragonfly exchange. So as it kind of goes through the process, you're not using your passwords or your passphrases anymore to join. So it's a lot harder to attack the network and kind of guess access.
So it's almost like there's maybe a random signature that's generated for each connection at the time.
Yeah. So, especially when it's in the open mode, so you use OWE and it sends a nonce, to the client. Right. And then the client then shares the key. So okay. That really kind of starts the algorithm process and the encryption.
Along with the improvements in security protocols and conventions, I would imagine this also adds even greater security because it takes some of the human part out of it, right? Because we're not sharing passwords. Some of the issues that might come along with implementation go away because a lot of this is being taken care of on the fly.
Correct. I mean, if you look at, kind of when you use passwords and passphrases, so there's generators out there that will just sit there and try all day long to get into the network. So now that takes that whole piece out of it. So the brute force attacks that you would see previously, are now not part of it on the WPA3 side.
Right. So we have protection against brute force attacks. And also the configuration is simplified as well. Is that correct? Do I understand correctly?
It is easier to configure, because you're not having to do the manual piece of putting in passwords, et cetera. So when you set up the WPA3 and you activate that, once you join the network, you kind of go through that process for what your backend setup is. So once it's configured, you're good to go.
And so let's talk a little bit about, WPA3 versus OWE. I understand that WPA3 is required for the enterprise side. What would be the application then for OWE?
Yep. So OWE is for the open space network. So, from your lobby side, your cafes, your conference rooms where you're going to have guests join. So when you kind of need that open network for, non-enterprise related tasks, basic internet access, that's where the OWE would be in play.
Okay. Yeah, that makes sense. So it sounds like there, a lot of use cases are being taken into account and the greatest degree of security is being implemented. How is transition being handled, right? Because it's not likely that people are suddenly just going to switch from all 6E, from legacy devices and networks and WPA2 to suddenly overnight, we're all, 6E and WPA3, right?
So, it's kind of like network access control. You're going to be put into multiple sectors depending on what your device is and how you're supposed to authenticate. And are you approved to go on to the next section? So if you have a 5 device, you're going to be put in WPA2, which is the original way we've been doing it for 10, 15 years with passcodes, passphrases, et cetera. But if you go and penetrate that network, you're not going to be able to penetrate the devices on the WPA3 side because you're going to be hard blocked. The OWE side is just the open network side as well. So that really should just have a route to the internet and nothing directly into your enterprise.
It sounds like there are a lot of things that have to be taken into consideration here. I would imagine there's a lot of planning and sort of pre-production kind of work that needs to take place before this transition can happen.
Yeah, there is. So you definitely want to know, what devices you have that can be joined wireless. Are they 6 capable or are they going to be stuck in 5? What's going to be your life cycle to cycle those out? So then, at one point, you're going to have open the transition mode up. So you're going to have WPA3 and WPA2 attached to the same access point. You really want to go and get everything moved over as soon as possible to WPA3. So everything's on the 6th side.
So yeah, in summary then, you know, WPA3 provides much greater security for Wi-Fi networks and protects against a wider range of attacks, which have been so prevalent in the past, particularly brute force. When it comes to the, you know, planning the transition, you know, how can C1Gov help their customers with that process? And what does that process look like sort of in a nutshell?
Well, let's kind of, you know, talk about that process. You really want to kind of, you know, do a nice layout, you know, figure out what your spectrum usage is in that area. And then tag all the devices that are currently on the network and then what that phase would look like, but also the spectrum in general. So, you know, the spectrum should be fairly wide open on that, you know, Wi-Fi 6 side, because there's not too many devices or interference at this point. So it's controlling, you know, what's really happening on the 5 side and what your transition is going to be. So as we put these new access points in play, it's one of those ongoing processes that we're going to have to go through to get, you know, rid of the old school, the WPA2 devices, to move everything to WPA3.
In order to get the greatest benefit and have the greatest amount of control over the process and make the most of budget and other resources, it's better to start that process sooner rather than later so that you kind of have a lot of time to control it, right?
Yeah, I mean, you really need to put it into a full life cycle. Measure it, monitor it, and make sure that you're actually transaction to get to where you want to go at the end,
right,
and stay on that course.
Yeah, it's certainly not an overnight process. You don't want to sort of get like caught out in the cold on this one, right? Excellent. Well, we'll, as usual, put some links in the description for how you can reach Ryan and Converge One Government Solutions to help you with this transition process. And Ryan, thanks as always. Any idea what we're going to come back with next time?
I think Juniper Mist is next on our list.
Oh, excellent. All right. Well, we look forward to that. And thanks, everybody, for joining us today. Thanks, Ryan. And we'll see you guys soon.
Thank you.